Well, I don't know if this is right or I'm right, wrong, whatever, but I don't feel like this message really goes with what's been preached, but I say I appreciate what has been preached. Amen. If you'll find your places in John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5 this morning. And, well, right at noon, I think we are now. And so, trust the Lord to help us and God to meet the needs that's needed. I really want to major. It's kind of hard, I don't know, for me, maybe because of my lack of intellect, but it's hard for me to just preach one point, not be inclusive to all the other part of the message. Feel like my messages have to go together or else it just don't seem to be understood, and sometimes they're still not understood. Amen. It goes along with what you was preaching. I don't know if I've got a people prepared for me yet or not. Amen. God may be forming a whole new creation. I don't know. But anyway, we'll trust the Lord to help us tonight. John chapter number 5, for the sake of time, we'll not read all of the scriptures. But let's go, if we may, down from verse number 1 down to verse number 12. Of John chapter number 5, a very familiar passage of scripture. I've preached out of here many times through the years, and actually the title of the message is a title to a message I preached out of this, but it's a whole different outline, if you want to say it that way. God just give us a different perception about this text here a while back to help us. And I trust it'll help you today. All right. The Bible said in John 5:1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. I'm glad there was evidence something changed, aren't you? Yes, amen. It will be too if you get saved. Amen. It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? Let's pray. Father, I do pray for your help, your guidance today. I thank you for the word of God. We've already heard what we heard last night. Lord, what we've heard again already this morning. I pray, Lord, you'd take me, thy feeble servant. Lord, allow us to say something from thy word. It might be an encouragement to your people. Lord, might be a help to someone here lost today even. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd touch and that you'd help each and every one of us. Bless this pastor, bless this people. And God, meet the needs that's needed for these missionaries and pastors, Lord, as they've come to be refreshed. And I pray, God, that you do that for your honor, your glory. Lord, we need some men that'll stay with the stuff. Lord, just stay with the old paths. And dear God, just stay faithful to the end. I don't believe in persevering to the end to be saved as soul salvation, But I do believe, dear God, that you will help us to persevere to the end, that we might be delivered from this trouble and trials of this life. And God, I pray that you'd help us today and meet every need that's needed now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm not going to take time really deal with an introduction this morning, but you're very familiar. I'm confident most everybody here is church-going people and would be familiar with our text today and heard it preached, maybe even in the light that I'm going to preach it this morning. We know that the Pool of Bethesda would be known as the House of Mercy or the House of Grace. We know it has five porches. We know that in this particular place, there is a great multitude of folk laying there. Amen. Sitting there waiting for something to happen. And we'll get into that here in just a minute. But a few things I want to point out, I guess you would say by detail, is the fact that the Bible said that there was a certain season about this moving of the water. A season is a period of time. In other words, these men, these women did not know the day nor the time that the divine angel, the divine move of God would come and stir the water that they might be healed of their disease. So that means that these people had come to a place that they had realized that there was a designated season. And just for sake of illustration, let's just say that sometime in the month of May, maybe the waters were going to stir. Maybe they would have had to been there all the days of the month of May. Maybe it would have been covered 2 or 3 months. You know, we typically go by our seasons as being 3 months. We have 4 seasons, and maybe it was 3 months that these people would have to go to this particular place and wait on the moving of the water, or else take a chance that they would get there in time, amen, if they didn't go and wait the whole time. Just kind of getting your mind in the thought of how important this Pool of Bethesda was and how serious these people are about getting the help that they need. And I think that comes back to the conclusion of what we really have already heard preach, how serious are we about getting the help that we need? How serious are we about sticking with the stuff, staying faithful unto God that we might have the help that we need from the Lord? So we find that these people come, and they come and they stay. We find that these people, some maybe being brought, amen, not even able to get there of their own volition, being able, their own means, just being able to travel. But either way, they get there to this place to get the help that they need. Now, some things to point out about this Pool of Bethesda. It was only a divine stirring one time, may I say, in a season. I don't know if it happened every season. I don't know if it happened once a year. But I do know that he said a certain season. That tells us it was a certain time that God would move in such a way physically that whoever stepped into this water would be healed of their disease. Amen. I'm glad it was still a whosoever will, even though it was just one. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Whosoever, he said. Right. I'm glad it didn't have to be a certain kind of person. Right. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord made provisions for people to get the help that they need. And I know many times people don't like to apply the healing of God to salvation, and sometimes it might be a stretch in some ways in the way that it's explained. But I with the Lord's help today, I want to do that. But I do have 4 points, and I think I want to primarily deal with this one. But let me just go ahead and say this. It is the weakness of this man I want to see. It is the waiting of this man I want to see. It is the wonder of this man that I want us to look at. And then you have the walk of this man. Amen. That you see in this text. Many times I'm afraid that we do skim over and rush over. I say that for me a lot. Amen. I don't pick out a lot of things. Brother Shepherd said last night, Brother Plato Shepherd, that is, said last night about Brother Joshua and how he picks out details and how he's detailed in things. And I noticed that about him years ago, and I appreciate that. And sometimes the Lord allows us to see a few things. I don't always see everything everybody else does, but sometimes the Lord lets us see some things about those details as well. And I believe he's let me see that in this particular text. And I want to point them out. And let me just run through some of these quickly this afternoon and trust the Lord to use it to help you. All right. But in verses 3 and 7, we see the weakness of this man, or may I say, the disability of this man. This man was impotent. This man was not capable of moving around at least fast by himself. According to verse number 7, we find that he tells Jesus, when I am coming, another steppeth down before me into the water. Amen. And therefore, he misses out on this great power of God that God manifests in an open manner, amen, for people to see, to get the help that they needed. But that shows us that he was powerless to obtain that he needed. Just like sinners today, they're powerless to obtain what they need, amen, of their own selves. Can I say it this way? We that are saved are powerless to obtain what we need in ourselves. That's what the preacher just finished preaching about, amen. Even though we might know what is going on, even though we might know what is needed, we still do not have the ability to correct it all. Amen. It takes God. Isn't that right? We see the desperation of this man in verse number 5. I need to move on. We see the desperation. He said a certain man was there. And that goes back to some of the little bit, I guess you'd say, of the introduction that I just kind of wanted to bring your mind to. This man was an impotent man. This man appears that he has nobody. Amen. He is desperate to get the healing that he needs for his physical body. Amen. And he has nobody to help him out. So I believe that this man knows what season that this is supposed to happen. I believe this man, whether he pays someone, whether he is, if you say scooting, sliding, crawling, however you want to say it, this man some way, somehow gets to this place that he might get the help that he needs. And he's laying here, amen, around this pool of Bethesda to find that help that he needs for however long this season may be until the moving of the water. And he's done this, I would dare say, in accordance with the scriptures, I believe. I dare say this man has done this for 38 years. Amen. How many people have come to church, needed God, needed salvation, needed just the power of God to move in their life year after year, time after time, amen, day after day, amen, and go for years without getting what they needed? Amen. We got too many people today that are desperate. Amen. They need the help of God. Amen. I want to say, though, when you get desperate, that's when you can usually get the help you need. Amen. But we see the duration of this man, of course, in verse number 5. He had had this infirmity for 38 years. This man had laid sick for 38 years. No relief. Without a doubt, as in the majority of sicknesses, I'm confident the pain, the misery, the depression, all of those things and characteristics of sickness just continued to worsen over the period of time. And so for these 38 years, this man is struggling. He is wanting some relief. He is needing some help. And he's trying to get it by getting to this pool of Bethesda. That is a wonderful thing that God provided for them. That at a certain season, he would come down, send an angel. Amen. I believe to be the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't matter to you. Amen. But I believe the Lord Jesus Christ came and troubled that water. Amen. And would cause that water to move, and whoever stepped in thereby was healed of their disease. Amen. The title of the message today is What Are You Waiting For?
Amen.
Which brings me to my second point. The waiting of this man. The waiting of this man. The Bible says in verse number 3 that in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I'm afraid we got a lot of people today, fellas, that are looking for something miraculous in the sense of earth shaking. I'm afraid that too many people are looking for a lightning bolt to come out of the sky. I'm afraid too many people are looking for a Saul on the road to Damascus experience. They're waiting for a bright light that can outshine the noonday sun, that can cause them to go blind. Amen. They're waiting for the sound of thunder, but with words of clarity to them to come from the sky. I mean, they're waiting for something that is not normal for us to see, that they might get the help that they need. These people are waiting for a moving of the water. Now, as I've already explained, as you already very well know, and probably know more about it than I do, this moving of the water meant a lot of different things for them. But nonetheless, they're waiting for this moving of the water. And they're saying, you know, if I can just get there when that water moves, hey man, everything's going to be all right. So they're not only just waiting for a moving of the water, but they're waiting for a miracle of healing. Right. They're saying that, you know, if I can step into that pool of water, if I can dive into that pool of water, if I can just slide in to that pool of water when it is stirred, then whatever my problem is, God will take care of that. Amen. Isn't it amazing that people can trust in God for something that goes beyond our normal comprehension, but they can't trust in God for what He said He would do? I say it all the time and I say it again today. Too many times we trust God for the salvation of our soul, the fact that we're going to heaven and not going to spend an eternity in hell, but yet we can't trust Him to live for Him day by day. Amen. We can't just stay by the stuff. We can't just continue to go by the Word of God. Amen. That is the written Word. It is the living Word. Appreciate, ladies, the song you sung this morning. Amen. I'm glad that my heart holds to the written Word of God. Amen. Don't mean I'm above falling. Don't mean I can't fall. Don't mean I won't fall. But I have no desire to fall. And I have a purpose, amen, that I decided a long time ago that I wanted to do my best to try to stay faithful to God and serve God. And by His grace and with His help and mercy, even though times have gotten hard, even though things have gotten a little bit tight on us, and we wanted to know what was going on, I'm glad God's always been faithful.
Amen.
Always been faithful. I'm not waiting for a moving of the water. I'm not waiting for a miracle of healing. This man was, and not just this man, but all of these people. They were also waiting for a man of compassion. That's what we need. A man of compassion. Let me point out these things here real quick. If you'll look with me. I could go into verse number 4 with the miracle of healing and the fact that in Revelation He said, and you know, the bride says come, the Spirit says come, and whosoever will, let him come.
Yep.
Amen. I'm thankful for that. Amen. But notice here what He says. In verse number 7, the Bible said, the impotent man answered Him, Sir, I have no man. I want to say some things about that. I have no man. Is there a man? You know, God said, I sought for a man and found none. And this man here, he says, I have no man. Now, Brother Shepherd, I'm not a smart man. You know that. We've been friends for a long time. Amen. He feels sorry for me. But if I know somebody's hurting and sick for 38 years, and especially if they're family, I'm going to try to do something to help them, brother.
Sure.
I'm going to try to get them to a doctor. Yeah, I'm talking about the physical side now. I'm going to try to get them, if they're having some emotional problems, I'm going to try to get them some counseling. I'm going to try to get them whatever help they may need. If I know they're sick and they need some help, surely to goodness this man had some family that should have cared about him. Should have cared about him. Oh, but, you know, I had to work. Well, what's more important? I know what the preacher preached. I believe all that. I have no problem with that. Amen. I've been preaching that for years and got a lot of people mad at me over it. But what I'm telling you is many times we are not compassionate. We could go to Jude. I'm not going to take time to run there this morning. But I'm telling you, we need a man that has some compassion, that cares about a sinner that needs Jesus. That cares about a saint that's struggling. That cares about some people that need some help from the Lord. This man said, I have no man. Now surely to goodness he had some family still alive. But even if he didn't, he should have had some friends. You know, the problem is when we can't do for somebody else, most time they don't want to be our friend no more. We call them fair weather friends. When everything's going good and when we can fork out the money and we can take care of them having some entertainment and we can do something for them, then we're more than glad to be somebody's friend. But when there's a man that's been sick for 38 years and people have given up on him and said there's no hope, but yet this man still has hope. This man says, if I can just get to the pool, surely there's a friend somewhere that says, I'll help him get to the pool. But no, not according to our story. There's no man. Amen. Then you would think that all these people around this pool, maybe somebody's blind, but yet they can feel, they can talk, they can hear, they can walk. Maybe somebody even that's halt, you know, maybe they've got a limp. Maybe they don't get around as good as somebody else does. But they see this man that's in a lot worse shape. Yeah. This man, by all indication, and you can say I'm stretching the scriptures if you want to, but I don't believe I am. But this man, by all indication, the only thing he could probably do was roll off of his bed, that little mat that he carried with him, amen, and scoot his body, pull along maybe with an arm or something, and scoot his body and pull his mat with him. Right. You would think somebody else around there that didn't have it quite as bad, quite as long, would have said, here, let me help you in. No, but we're selfish that way, aren't we? We want to be whole. Amen. We want to be whole. I'm asking you today, there's people out here that's waiting for something. And they might be thinking that they need a moving of the water. They might be thinking that they need a miracle healing of the physical man. But what they really need is a man of compassion. What they really need is someone who cares. Let me talk just a few minutes. I got a few minutes left. Let me talk just a few minutes about the wonder of this man. The wonder of this man. Notice what the Bible says. Now, y'all believe the sign out front, don't you? Repent ye. And believe the gospel. Amen. I know there's a lot of easy believism and different things that goes out there, and I'm not saying that salvation's hard, but sometimes for people to get that place they want, it is. Amen. But this Bible does have guidelines, and I'm not saying it has to be the ABC 1, 2, 3 repeat after me type stuff, but I'm telling you, this Bible does have guidelines. They have to hear the gospel. They have to understand they're a sinner. They have to understand he's righteous and he paid the sin debt. Amen. And then they have to put their faith and confidence in him. Isn't that right? Believe the gospel. Well, that's just kind of in a nutshell, but let me just show you this in the scripture here. Verse number 6, the Bible said, we see the wonder of this man. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Jesus, of course, the greatest preacher, right? He said, wilt thou be made whole. In that question, I see him preaching to this man about his condition. This man, with that question, wilt thou be made whole? Lest this man know that Jesus says, I see that you're not, and you know that you're not. You need to be made whole. Amen. So I see the conviction or convincing, of the wrong or the need in this man's life. Sinners have to realize they have a need. They need Jesus. Amen. They need salvation. Amen. They don't need to turn over a new leaf. They don't just need to join the church. They don't just need to be baptized. Amen. They don't just need to try to be a good moral person and give to charity. They need to get born again. Amen. Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? Amen. I'm glad that the wonder took place in this man's life. He knows his need. He knows he's insufficient of himself. When Jesus asked him that question, he immediately comes back with a response in verse number 7. Yes, that's what I want. Yes, that's what I need. But I don't have a man the means to get there. Amen. So we find that the wonder is not only in the conviction, but the wonder is in the call. Amen. Jesus saith unto him, rise. How many times do we find Jesus doing that through the Gospels? Bring him to me. Come unto me. Amen. Time and time again. Amen. I know I've got a little bit different theology than some people got, but I got Bible for mine. Amen. I'm telling you right now, when Jesus calls, the sinner has to come. I know he come to seek and save that which was lost. I know he comes to us in the sense of revealing to us our sin, and he's the fact that he's the Savior. But if you're not willing to submit to him, you're not going to get born again.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Ain't going to happen. Amen. When that rich young ruler come and they went through their accounts and he asked Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life, Jesus told him all these things. He said, them I've done, I've kept from my youth up, what lackest I yet? He knew he couldn't be saved that away, and Jesus wasn't trying to get him saved that away. He was revealing to him all of his self-religion and self-promotion. Amen. Getting all of his good works out of the way. That didn't get the job done, so here's what you have to do. But he wasn't willing to forsake his riches. Amen. So he turned and left and went away sorrowful. The Bible said, for he had great riches. The wonder, the calling. Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Rise. Amen. Won't you just come to me? Amen. Matthew 11, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Amen. And you shall find rest unto your souls.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, if we'll come to Jesus, even as a saved individual, if we'll just keep coming to Jesus, he'll take care of those problems. Those times of despair, distress, depression. Amen. He can help us through every bit of that. Why? Because he made this body. Why? Because he knows our thoughts are far off. Why? Because he knows exactly what it takes to make us whole again.
Amen.
Amen. Not only do we see the calling, but then we see the confidence. The confidence. Notice what he said. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately. Isn't it amazing? This man didn't hesitate. That's true belief, by the way. Let me give you an example. If that's water, okay, if that floor is water, Peter's on the boat. Lord, if it be thou, bidst me come unto me. And I got a different theology on that too. I believe he's asking if it's the Lord's will, not if it was the Lord. He already knew it was the Lord. But nonetheless, he said, if it be thou, bidst me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Peter didn't go. Just got out of the boat and went to walking, didn't he? When Jesus calls for us to come for salvation, we can't doubt him.
That's right.
We just go forward to Him, call upon Him, trusting Him. Amen. Trusting Him. Notice in verses number 8 and verse number 9, He heard. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. He not only heard, but He hearkened. He took up the bed. Wonder how long it's been since this man's carried his bed.
Yep,
not just the fact of getting up, but how long has it been since he carried his bed?
Yep.
And the Bible said and walked. He was healed. He heard. He was healed. And he hearkened.
Amen.
Unto the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then the walk.
Good.
The walk. This man, his walk changed. This man hadn't walked, possibly. I say possibly because I don't know how much deterioration over the 38 years had taken place. But this man possibly hadn't walked for 38 years. And this man all of a sudden jumps up, picks up his bed, and begins to walk. There's so many things. I really wish I had the time to kind of deal with it. But there's so many things in here. When this man jumps up, takes up his bed, and begins to walk, he doesn't even find out who Jesus is. He just takes him for his word.
Yep.
He just does what he was told to do.
Yep.
Amen. He doesn't question it. He rises, he takes up his bed, and he walks. And when he begins to walk, all the people begin to take notice. Hey, wait a minute. The water hadn't stirred.
Yeah.
This man didn't go down in the pool.
Yep. Right.
And Jesus didn't. I know what some people say. Well, Jesus picked this man out of all them others. No, no, no. Don't go there because I'm going to fix that here in a minute. Amen. But Jesus went to this man because he knew he'd been in that case a long time. Nobody else cared about him. So he said, I care about him. So he tells him to rise, take up his bed and walk. And this man gets up and begins to walk. And the Jews all of a sudden, oh yeah, they care about you when you're not following their law. Churches care about you when you're not doing what they want you to do. People care about you when you're not doing what they think you ought to be doing.
Amen.
And this man, he begins to walk and they said, hey, what are you doing? They saw that he was cured. So they had watched this man. They had seen this man time and time again. They could have helped this man.
Right.
But they didn't want to help this man.
Right.
They just wanted to condemn this man. They said, it's the Sabbath day. Now, it was okay to walk a certain distance on the Sabbath, but it wasn't okay to carry anything. And they said, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. I want you to notice what this man said. Amen. I want you to notice here. Notice what he said. The Jews therefore said to him, that was cured, it was Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole and same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he was healed, wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude be in that place. This man, when he answered them, he said, I'm just going to be honest with you, if I can put it bluntly. He said, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care what your law says, this man said for me to pick up my bed and walk, and I did, and I did.
Amen.
Amen. The law is not what makes you whole. Thank God we established the law. Amen. I know it was fulfilled in Christ, but he didn't do away with it. Amen. We establish it. Amen. People see our good works according to the law that's taught us those good works. And people see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Is that not the book?
Amen.
Amen. And I'm with you, preacher. I am not spiritual Israel. I'm a Gentile that didn't deserve salvation. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved me.
Yeah.
Amen. Thanks be unto God.
Amen, amen, amen.
Listen. This man said, I ain't worried about what your law says. This man said for me to get up and walk. And that's exactly what I'm going to do.
That's right.
So we see the walk of this man. We see five things about his walk. It was prompt. Immediately it took place. We see he was persecuted for his walk. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We see the praise of his walk. First place he went. To the temple. You say, why'd he go? Without a doubt in my heart and my mind, he went there to thank God for what he had done. Amen. I know it don't say that verbatim, but without a doubt in my heart, he went there to thank God for what he had done. And in the process, guess who he finds there? Or guess who finds him there? Jesus. Then we see the persistence of this walk. Jesus doesn't want us to go back out into our old ways, our old life of sin. He says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Isn't that right? Well, I'll just go back and be like I used to be. Well, worse things going to happen if you do. I'm not telling you that you can as a child of God. I can't tell you that you cannot go back out into a life of sin. But I will tell you it's going to get worse. I've been preaching a series through 2 Peter chapter number 1 on I have not forgotten. People have forgotten that they've been purged from their old sins because they didn't add to the things for spiritual growth, not for salvation, but for spiritual growth. They didn't add those things to them. And Jesus said, you need to be persistent in your walk for me. If you don't, you'll end up back in a life of sin and you'll end up with the worst thing coming on you. Amen. And then we see the proclamation. The first thing that he went and done after he found out it was Jesus was went out and told those Jews, hey, it was Jesus. It wasn't the law. It wasn't your religion. It was Jesus. Preacher, I'm sorry. I took five extra minutes there. I'm done.